other day, we were talking about a recent trip that I had made to Aragon, which is the region in the northeast part of Spain. Not exactly in that northeast corner, that's where Catalonia is, but it's sort of in the northeast quadrant. And I talked a little bit about Saragossa, and also Belchite, the town. I also did a podcast on that, a separate one. And I talked about Huesca, the city of Huesca, which is the capital of the province of Huesca. The province is right, goes all the way up to the Pyrenees, and it's an amazing place. There are lots of places to visit. But this time I focused on the capital city itself, which is not as popular as other places, but I tell you, it's definitely worth a visit. I was telling you about that in the previous podcast of Talking Spain. You have great streets, great squares, lots of outdoor cafes. You have a lovely heritage there, the cathedral, museum. And then you have San Pedro el Viejo, the casino also. There's also a nice park. So it's definitely worth a visit. I highly recommend it. And then I went back to Zaragoza. Well, before I did that, actually, I did spend one afternoon when I went to a castle called El Castillo de Loarre. That's L-O-A-R-R-E. Loarre is a very famous castle. You know, as you, Spain is famous for its castles. There are lots of them. The condition of all these castles, it varies quite a bit from just ruins to barely anything there to full-fledged castles that you can actually stay in and sleep in. Loarre is famous because it's been in a lot of movies. I think, what was the Kingdom of Heaven, is it? And other series. It's from the outside, it's just an amazing place to look at. And I wanted to check it out. And it's about a half an hour to the west of Huesca, up on the hill on the side of a mountain. Very scenic. And then you can take a guided tour, but that wasn't available at the time. So I just paid, I think it was nearly €7. And with that, you get a audio guide and a chance to see the inside of the castle. The audio guide is okay. It's a little bit lacking in information. I think they could have done a little bit more for that. And the inside is a bit chaotic. It's almost like a labyrinth. It's really, you go all over the place. You're not really sure where you're going and where you're ending up. And that sort of makes it intriguing. It makes it fun. But there are no plaques there. There's no information. I felt like it was just sort of catapulted back into the 1990s when this was sort of a common problem with visiting these types of places in Spain. A lot of them have gotten their act together and make it easy for the visitor, even if you're not taking the guided tour, to get a sense or know what's going on. And that was sort of tough to do. The audio guide, as I said, was okay, but it was sort of confusing. It was very short, and I needed more information. Plus, I always have sort of an issue with audio guides at times because you have to download them, and they can drain your phone battery. But anyway, for €7, I was hoping for a little bit more. I'm not saying don't go see it. It is a pretty castle, and I would recommend the guided tour. I'm sure you get a lot more information, but this might be a sort of for the suggestion box that they could put some more information panels inside the castle so you can get a sense of what you're looking at, what you're seeing. And then I went back to Zaragoza to pick up my wife, who was coming from work. She took a train, and we met there in the morning and walked around the city just to see it start the day. That's fun to do. I really love seeing towns and cities in the morning. Even Madrid. Madrid in the morning is so much fun to see. You could just see the activity beginning to wake up and things start to get going. Zaragoza is an amazing city, definitely worth the visit. We had a coffee at a cafe, a very nice one, and then we sort of walked around the famous sort of the tapas or the bar district. It's called El Tubo, and I think it's called that because of the narrow streets where it all those places are. It was a little bit early for the famous aperitivo, so we didn't have anything, but it was just nice to walk around and see those places. Then we got our car and headed up for where we were going to spend our weekend, up in Moncayo, which is the famous, a very famous mountain in Spain. It's almost a freestanding mountain. It's not really part of a mountain range. Massive. It's not the biggest mountain in Spain, but it looks it. And I think that's because it's just by itself, very imposing. I want to go up there one day. I didn't have enough time, but I definitely want to go to the top. You just have to pick the right time of year because it snows a lot up there and it can be quite windy. So you have to be careful about what time of year and what the weather is like. Anyway, we're going to go to a town called Tarazona. But before that, we stopped in another town called Borja, Borja, which may sound a little bit familiar to you. Borja is actually a Spanish way of saying Borgia, the Borgia, which is the name of the famous Italian family, like the Medicis and the Sforzas. But believe it or not, the Borgias are actually Spanish in origin. The family was from Valencia, but their roots probably go all the way back to this town, Borja. Borja is also famous for its wine. It's called Campo de Borja, the region, and it specializes in a red wine made from the Garnacha or Grenache variety. And while we were there, I also wanted to take advantage and take a look at something that came out in recent history of this town. It's not probably the most flattering news, but it certainly put this town on the map worldwide. And that is the famous Ecce Homo painting, or restoration, botched restoration done by a local amateur artist named Cecilia Jimenez. This was a woman who was 80 or 81 at the time, and she saw that a fresco on a church was affected by the dampness and was in dire need of restoration. So she decided to take on that task by herself without any real formal training in especially portrait art. The original painting was not a classic or a masterpiece to speak of, but it was certainly the product of someone who had a general idea of what they were doing. They had some training. And she tried to fix it, and she didn't have a chance to finish it before it was discovered. And of course, the differences were stark, shocking, laughable. Let's be honest here. This poor woman who really tried to do her best was now the laughingstock worldwide. I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of jokes and where this appeared on talk shows in the United States. It's become sort of an icon of pop art, I guess. And I'll tell you more about this story in a separate podcast because there's a lot to tell here. This poor woman, who's still alive, obviously suffered quite a bit as a result of all the mocking that was done. But at the same time, there's been this sort of, it's still there and it's protected. It's under a shield of plexiglass or acrylic or something like that. And you can go see it. It's not in the town itself. It's up in this sanctuary, which is a church and a residence about 3 miles away from Borja, up on the hillside. It was nice because it was hot that day, so it was cool where the place was. There are other homes there. Typically, people would stay there over the summer, and that's where the original painter lived when he decided to do that painting 100 years ago. And so you can see this place, and you can see the painting. Cost 3 euros. The town, as far as I know, is not cashing in on someone else's embarrassing restoration attempt. I think the proceeds actually go to helping out the elderly in the town. The woman at the ticket office, we were alone. There was no one else there. She showed us around the place a little bit, and told us a little bit about the story of this woman. And I will tell you more about it at another time because there's really a lot of interesting things to say. Anyway, from there, then we had lunch and then we moved on to Tarazona, which is a pretty big town and a cool place. It has a lot to offer. Definitely worth a visit, even though parts of the town have seen better days. There's a river that runs through the middle, and there are outdoor cafes and restaurants nearby. It was nice, especially in the summertime, even though we ran into a local running race and the speakers were blaring and making all sorts of noise. It wasn't peaceful at first, but then finally got better. Tarazona has some pretty cool places to visit. One thing you should see is the facade of the town hall, which is in this plaza, sort of uphill in the higher part of the town. The facade is extraordinary. It has all these different sculptures, but it also has this long frieze. You know, a frieze is a long strip, a sort of a sculpture, engraved sculpture, that sort of a strip that goes along a wall. And this goes along the entire building. It's huge, very long at least. And it is a description of when the Emperor Carlos V, Charles V, was entering the city of Bologna to be crowned as emperor. And the whole side of the building itself is just extraordinary. I don't really think I've seen anything like it in Spain. That's what I really liked about it. It was almost looked like something from the north of Europe, and less so that something you would find in Spain. So that was really cool. What else can you see in Tarazona? It also there's a an interesting there's this old bull ring. That's from the 18th century, I believe, and it has been converted, well, a long time ago, into private residences, apartments. So it looks really cool. And then you have a huge palace, the Episcopal Palace. You can tell that the church had a lot of power there. There was a lot of money in this town at one point. Then you have the cathedral, which from the outside, looks chaotic. Just about any architectural style a person could find in that part of Spain was there, was evident, and not done in a harmonious way. I gotta tell you, when I first saw it, I was like, "Ooh, I'm not sure if I want to check this cathedral out. It's different, but it's I'm not sure." But anyway, we did do the guided tour the next day, and it was definitely the thing to do. A very pleasant surprise, mainly because this cathedral had been closed for 30 or 40 years up until 2011. And that's because it had deteriorated so much that it was almost falling apart. And even the dome, the main tower, the main dome in the center was on the verge of collapsing, so they actually had to close everything and make a huge restoration project. And probably the part I liked most about this visit was how they restored this cathedral. It's not done yet. There are still parts of it that haven't been finished, but it's an amazing job. For example, that dome in the middle, which is called a cimborrio, had to be lifted with hydraulic machines. They actually lifted the tower so they could reinforce the pillars and the columns and make it safe. And there's just about every possible artistic and architectural style inside this cathedral. You have Romanesque, you have early Gothic, late Gothic, you have Baroque, Renaissance. It's all there and was an amazing place to see. And the story of its restoration is also extraordinary. And then you have the rest of the town, which it does have a Jewish quarter, which that's one of those places which I think need a little sprucing up. I think they could do a lot with it, but it needs an injection of investment. And I'm sure they could do a lot more with that. But there are some cool restaurants, very nice people. and I really enjoyed seeing Tarazona. We almost had a disaster there because a week later, there's the river that goes through it. When I was there, there's just a sort of a stream in the middle, typical in the middle of the summer. Water discharge isn't as great as it is in the winter or in the spring. But I could see there was capacity for a lot more water. And lo and behold, there was a big thunderstorm a week later, and that whole area was flooded. Thank God, there were no victims, obviously material damage, but it was basically where all those outdoor cafes were. It's been a summer of terrible floods all over the world, and Aragon is no exception. And that'll be all for today's episode of Talking Spain. We hope you've enjoyed it. Please feel free to leave any comments or questions because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We really work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. And you can also check us out on our YouTube channel and support us by subscribing. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.